rapidly escalated for the Browns through the preseason and continued on Sunday. What can be done to solve this? Dale, this is an issue that has to be emphasized in practice. We heard Pat Shurmur talk about this. Penalties just don't magically go away. You have to address them when you can address them, which is on the practice field. It's a point of emphasis in meetings. It has to be discussed. It has to be talked about. And you just have to set really kind of a punitive sense that this is an urgent matter to correct. And if you're not aboard with it, then someone else has to be in there who won't hurt the team with penalties. And it is a concern. That's 11 penalties in the first game of the season is really a number that knocks you over. There's no question about it. 7 in the first quarter is a number that knocks you over. I would you know, hasten to point out that this is there are other things besides just saying, you know, don't do the wrong thing. Maybe how you are working your snap count can affect how players, offensive linemen who jump offside, you know, so maybe situations there, how that's worked between Colt McCoy and the offensive line, or how he is going with the snap count. You're trying to establish a pace, a faster pace, to keep the defense off balance a little bit, and I think that comes into play. Darius via Facebook asks, for the Indy game on Sunday, do you think the Browns will give Peyton Hillis and Montario Hardesty more carries? Well, I think the answer is yes, more carries, but it's not just a simple case of running more. It's running better. 3.2 yards per carry did not get it done against the Bengals, and it won't get it done against anybody. So even if you're carrying more times, are you doing it effectively? And that's what was lacking in the Colts running game, Browns running game against the Bengals. They weren't running effectively. So I want to see better running, regardless of how much that is. You can run more, but the game will dictate that as well. And remember, after getting stung by that quick count play, after having the lead in the fourth quarter, you're trying to get back with a sense of urgency. Now the clock's tighter in the fourth quarter, so you're not really running your way back in. You're throwing the ball, and they weren't throwing it effectively. Drives were stalling, and things weren't happening in the passing game, and that was really the story of the game after that. But they just didn't run effectively. I would say that would be my issue with that. Remember, you can get more of my takes on ClevelandBrowns.com, visiting my blog, Carucci's Corner, and other columns that I write. Certainly the great work of Matt Florjancic is on there. You want to check that out. And also remember, the Browns official mobile app is now available for download for free on your iPhone and your Android devices. Outstanding show set up for you tonight. We have Browns tight ends coach joining us. Steve Hagan will be here to talk about his guys, Evan Moore and Ben Watson, each scoring a touchdown against Cincinnati. And we'll get into a little bit about just the preparation as an assistant coach on a Tuesday, getting things going for your game plan, the team's game plan, how they do that. Also, poll question. We post a new one each day on the Browns official Facebook page. Today's question, what area do the Browns need to make the most improvement to rebound and why? Running game, passing game, run defense, pass defense, or special teams? Vote those for us as well. And a real special treat for us, and I'm very excited about this guy being aboard in studio as our alumni guest, former standout linebacker for the Browns, Dick Bam Bam Ambrose. He's actually Judge Bam Bam now, is going to be with us as well. Truly, truly looking forward to getting caught up with him, and we will answer more of your questions. Stick around. There is much more ahead on Cleveland Browns Daily, presented, driven by Liberty Ford, and brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Get the value you're looking for at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Lease the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or Escape for $199 a month. Your choice, 2012 Fusion or Escape for only $199. With outstanding value, quality, and technology, it's no surprise Ford is the best-selling brand in America. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, Rome.
Universe.
Universal Windows Direct is back with our crazy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15% off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct, and tomorrow you'll be saved.
I love my windows.
I am Bernie Kosar, and I'm proud to say that I am from Northeast Ohio. Proud to have worn the Cleveland Browns uniform, and proud to have played before the best fans in the world. Likewise, Discount Drug Mart, proud to have served the people of Ohio for over 40 years, offering a wide range of products, convenient locations, and money-saving prices. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. Remember, Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
You'll find everything you need.
At Liberty Mutual Insurance, we believe in taking the time to understand your needs. Visit libertymutual.com/agents to speak to a Liberty Mutual agent today.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
Westbound ramp to Transportation Boulevard, traffic signals not working. Police are directing traffic there for you. Same at 40 East and Westbound, slow in Broadway to Warrensville Center, and 40 Westbound, slow west 130th to 71. 71 Southbound, slow 480 to Snow. 76 Westbound, the ramp to 77 Southbound, closed with a broken down semi. Has been that way most of the afternoon and continues closed. The Interbelt Southbound, slow Superior over to 77. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
We are back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Folks, this year, don't fumble your home improvement projects with another company. Hand it off to the winning team at Universal Windows Direct. Since 2002, Universal has been Cleveland's number one pick for quality vinyl replacement windows. And this month, you'll score with their $99 window sale. For every window you buy, get the second window for just $99. Plus, go long with 0% financing for up to 36 months, and you may still be eligible for the 2011 Energy Tax Credit. For a free estimate, call 216-518-8900. With Universal Windows Direct, you're going to be saying, I love my windows. He is the man who coaches the two touchdown makers for the Browns, at least in their first game, the two guys who caught TDs, Evan Moore and Ben Watson, the tight ends, and he is the tight ends coach for the Browns, Steve Hagan. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks. So it's Tuesday in the National Football League, and wondered if you could first give me a sense of what you and I know you're specific to your position, but you and the other assistant coaches are doing on what is the biggest day of the week for coaches because you're preparing your game plan.
Yeah, really, it's an extenuation of Monday.
Okay.
You just go home and take a nap on Monday, really, because, you know, after you put the previous game to bed, you start working on your next opponent, which is usually Monday afternoon. And so you're just going to work and get as much of a background on that new team that you can possibly get. And you're looking at personnel, you're looking at possible mismatches. All that being said, you have your scheme in mind and who you want to put in position to beat a certain defender mm-hmm. on a certain play. And so you start working that, and then you go home, take a nap Monday night, and then you come in at about, you know, you're usually in the office. I'm in the office about 6:30 in the morning on Monday. And then we just start back at it. We do our base offense, what we would do on first and second down, run game-wise. I sit down with Coach Warhop, and he'll look at film separately. I look at film separately. Gary will look. Our running back coach looks at film separately.
Gary Brown, yeah.
And then we kind of come together with our ideas, and then Hop will formulate a run game plan. while I'm also looking at play action passes off of those runs, and GB's doing the same. And then we kind of bring it to Pat. Pat's looking at the grand scheme.
Okay.
He's also our offensive coordinator as well.
Right.
So we're putting the big picture together. Then we start scripting for tomorrow's practice, start drawing cards for tomorrow's practice. And you never really stop watching film while you're doing that, because you want to get the exact looks. You want to
sure.
get the guys in the right techniques, playing the right defense. And just because you want to give our guys that are going to go to practice the best possible look that they can get. So when they get to the game, you try to reduce the amount of surprises that they're going to see. There's always going to be surprises.
Sure.
If you've been to an NFL game, there's always a surprise. And you just try to reduce the amount of surprises out there.
Now, in terms of this past Sunday, and the feeling that you and players and fans and everybody had, which was, of course, a bad one by the end of the day or the end of the game, at what point, sort of emotionally, psychologically, were you able to I always hear the 24-hour rule thing that Coach Shermer preaches, but that you were able to set that aside enough to where you can plow forward with the work that needed to be done for this Colts game?
Well, you know, we do this as a profession, so I don't know if you ever get over those losses. It seems like you harbor the loss more than you relish a victory, which is really kind of skewed in a lot of ways, but so I don't know if you ever get over it, but it's time to go back to work. And Coach says a 24-hour rule, and when I go home, my dogs still run to the door and my kids still hug me, so it's like 2 hours after the game I'm doing something else. But
sure.
In the back of your mind, you're always thinking about what could we have done differently, what could we do better. You know, we got to coach them. There's no excuses,
right.
No explanations.
Right.
You just take your guys and you get back to work and you start pounding the rock again to see if you can make something of it.
And that's a great perspective. Throughout the summer, probably the biggest story on this football team was certainly one of your guys, Evan Moore, his performance in the practice field, his performance in preseason games, that we just saw something extraordinary and exceptional. And then lo and behold, we find out he gets a contract extension, which seemed very appropriate, of course, based on, and I know it wasn't just based on this summer's worth of work, but a feeling that he mm-hmm. could be something special. Just talk about how this guy has developed to the point where he looks like he is a continuing to grow, developing, difference-making tight end.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he is. He's a continuing to grow, difference-making tight end. You saw him the other day. He made some big catches. He also missed some opportunities where he would have liked to have those back. When you go out there on Sunday, it's not practice. It's not a scrimmage. Everything counts. And he knows that. And I felt bad for him. He felt bad for himself. But hey, you know what? They're going to kick it off next Sunday, and we're going to get another opportunity, and he's got to capitalize on those opportunities. But he is. He's growing. He's growing in, playing tight end is a new position for him. That's, you know, last year he was a little bit of a fish out of water, and now he's in the flow of it. So it's going to be fun to continue to watch him grow. And I think he'll be a good asset for us.
Break it down in terms of his game. What are the specific things that he shows that consistently allow him to make those plays?
He's really big. He's 6'6",
yeah.
All of 6'6".
Yeah.
And he's 255, 53 pounds, and he can run. He runs well. And so the mismatches come with the defensive backs. You know, most DBs are 5'10", so he's almost a foot taller than all of them.
Sure.
And his arms, you know, he can outreach them all, and he's got very good hands. So that's where the mismatches come. And the linebackers, he runs better than linebackers, you know, and he's taller than all the linebackers. So
sure.
The mismatch doesn't necessarily come with his hand on the ground down blocking a seven technique like Ben.
Right.
But the mismatches come out on the edge where he can get out in space and outrun and outjump and do some things like that. So.
Browns tight ends coach Steve Hagan joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If you could talk about his touchdown catch, and it seemed like kind of a quasi replay of other catches I've seen him make, and I, you know, they blend together a lot, and I'm sure a lot for you, for me, just watching the training camp practices and those and the preseason games beforehand. But this one counted. Just talk about the types of routes and things you can do with him when you're near the goal line.
Well, you know, we were on about the 3 yard line, I think, and he was flexed out to our left, and he just ran a slant, a 3-step slant. But that DB, you know, who's guarding him, has to go. He's got to guard him on a big field. He's got to guard. Is he going to run a fade? Is he going to run a quick out? Is he going to run a slant? So he's got to choose a side, pick a side. And Evan, by that time, he's up on him, and he's such a big body. Colt threw the ball well, put it on him. So by then, it's too quick, and it happens too fast for a DB to react. They'll have to do something else. I won't give them any clues. They're
no.
smart enough to figure it out.
Let them figure it out. And from Colt's perspective, that chemistry just seems to be very natural there between the two of them.
Yeah, I think it is. They get along really well.
Yeah.
Colt gets along with everybody really well.
Yeah,
but,
that's his nature.
But I think Colt sees that Evan is a big target with great hands, and that helps his game as well.
Sure.
Tight ends are usually quarterback friendly because they get open. Play action helps tight ends get open because the linebackers are drawn to the ball carrier because they're paid to tackle ball carriers.
Okay.
And so that's where tight ends can have a chance to get open. And tight ends are quarterback friendly. I mean, you can see it all the way across the league. It's not just our team. It's everywhere.
And Ben Watson, you mentioned him before, working in a little bit of a different capacity. More, he would more often have the hand down and be involved in blocking. Describe how to differentiate between what you're asking Ben to do on most occasions versus Evan Moore.
Well, Ben's a great blocker. I mean, if you get to watch a coach's tape and you really get to analyze Ben doing his job, he is a true pro at his job. And he's gotten better at it, and he's gotten more confident with his technique and his skill level. And he's a Pro Bowl tight end. That's just part of what Ben does. Ben, when Ben catches the ball, he's a violent runner. You saw him catch that Y screen to him, took it down our sidelines. He's a violent runner with the ball, and he's got really good hands. He jumped up. We did a little what we call Y hide off of a keep pass, and he ran up the other hash, the opposite hash, and out jumped the safety and made a great strong-handed catch and drug the defender into the end zone. And he's just he's a Pro Bowl tight end, and he should be, if he has a great year, he should be in the Pro Bowl.
Violent runner.
He is a violent runner.
I love that term.
Yeah.
So that's a guy, here's what I'm hearing when you say that, almost seeking contact or certainly not avoiding it as he's making progress.
Yeah, I don't encourage him to seek contact, and I don't encourage him to, you know, I always want him to make the first defender miss, which is hard for them to do because guys come at him from all angles.
Sure.
But when we talk about violent runners in our room, we talk about protecting the ball, get your pads down, your eyes up, and run through the tackle, and that's what Ben does. So it's fun to watch him play. I'm a great fan of Ben Watson.
And here's the other interesting thing. In talking with him, Coach, in training camp, he was very early on, you know, he was talking about this being kind of a foreign language to him, the offense, the West Coast system, and that he had this learning process that he had to go through himself, even as a veteran, and it wasn't always sure, even coming out of the huddle, let alone walking when he was called up to be part during drills, as to what he was supposed to do, and he was thinking about it all the way up to where he was lining up. So from that point to where he is now, what's that progress like?
Yeah, he's not processing like that anymore. He's way, way beyond that. When we were first going through what you were talking about, break the huddle, and he'd look back at me, and I'd be like, you got it. Just think about it for a second. But he's way beyond that. You know, it's so fluent to him now. It's, you know, it's part of who he is. So, but, you know, I can see that, you know, because I've been in a lot of different systems as a coach.
Sure.
But as a coach, you work it 24 hours a day. You're immersed. You, like, move to that country. As a player, you kind of visit the country a little bit, and you're not totally immersed until like the season gets here, and then you know. So that was a little bit of a transition for him, but he's so intelligent, and heck, he got into Duke.
Well, there you go. Two touchdown passes to, again, each of those tight ends in this game, and I know every game is different and takes on a different complexion, but let's just build off of that. The most positive thing that could come out of this depressing last game against Cincinnati was that. Now you go face the Colts. But even that game and beyond, these other 15 games on your schedule, tight ends, we can safely assume, are going to be a big part of what this offense does. But how do you see tight ends factoring against what you're coming up against this weekend?
Well, there's no question. They're going to have to defend them. You know, I'm not saying anybody takes anybody in this league for granted, but, you know, I guess it's just good follow-up to what they did last year. And they are weapons. They are our assets. They have good hands. They're big physical guys. And they're going to be there every Sunday. So whoever we play has to contend with that. And all that does is opens up our run game. It opens up our other receivers that are out there. It helps Colt at the quarterback position. It helps our O-line. So whenever you have good football players on the field, it changes what the defense has to do. Are they going to double cover the guy? Are they going to rotate the coverage towards him? Right. Or are they going to tackle him?
Right.
You know, all the different things, you know, because you start seeing, as this evolves, you'll start seeing those guys. They're going to choke our tight ends. They're going to be around them. They're going to try and tackle them off the ball so they don't get out on routes. And we're just going to have to continue to get better and better.
And speaking of that, I mean, your position is got to be part of the solution to improving the running game. You want to do better. I mean, it was 3.1 per carry against Cincinnati. We both know that's not going to be satisfactory, and this whole team knows that. So against every opponent, but starting with Indianapolis, that's got to be a big goal, and your tight ends are part of it.
They are, yeah, because you know, we have a saying in our room, catch and run like a receiver, block like a beast. And the way you get the edge of a defense is to have a good tight end. And that's where Ben has really helped us. Alex Smith does a great job at that. I'm going to get Evan better, and that's my goal, and to get Jordan better at that too.
It was 3.2 yards, but who's quibbling? That was the
end. Hey, if it's point something,
it's
yeah, I'd rather have a 9-point
whatever.
The whatever part doesn't matter to me. But no. Get the before the point.
All the best for Sonny, and thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Coach Steve Hagan coaches the tight ends for the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ESPN Cleveland Ford Center.
As expected, the Browns have made a change at punter. Veteran Brad Maynard has been signed. Richmond McGee headed to injured reserve list. Now, McGee's agent tweeting that his client suffered a herniated disc in his back during warm-ups before the Bengal game. Meantime, the Browns will return to practice tomorrow, getting ready to go to Indianapolis on Sunday. Ohio State heading to Miami Saturday night right here on KNR. Now, the NCAA reinstated Jordan Hall, Travis Howard, and Corey Brown. The threesome served two-game suspensions for taking improper benefits at a charity function in the offseason. Also today, head coach Luke Fickell telling the media quarterback Braxton Miller was, quote, nicked up a little bit last week in practice, but Fickell says the plan is for the freshman to see some time on the field on Saturday. And the Indians are in Arlington tonight. They'll begin a three-game series with the Texas Rangers. First pitch at 8:05. Justin Masterson's on the bump. Indians have also brought up righty Zach Putnam from AAA Columbus. We'll have more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford coming up. I'm Dave DiNatale.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your Best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
The end is near. Not for you, for the 50th season of racing at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. You've got one last chance before this historic season comes to an end. It's the EMCO Gears Classic, presented by Key Bank, September 16th through the 18th. It's a full weekend of racing action, featuring the Rolex Sports Car Series, Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, and ARCA Truck Series. So don't miss your last chance to be a part of Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course's historic 50th season. Get your tickets today by calling 800-MID-OHIO or visit midohio.com.
We asked a DIYer to tell the difference between a beaker of new Valvoline motor oil and one with Valvoline Next Gen with recycled oil.
They look the same.
Both exceed industry specs.
Still can't tell.
Okay, one's better for the environment.
Not helpful.
Next Gen oil is better than new oil. Used oil actually starts off better than crude and goes through the same refining process. Then, it's improved with our special additives for the same Valvoline protection. And because it uses less resources, it's better than new oil. Valvoline Next Gen. With 50% recycled oil, it's better than new oil.
It's time to kick off a season of savings at Medina Volkswagen Mazda. Ohio's fastest growing VW and Mazda dealer has put together all of the right plays to make sure their game plan makes you a winner. Right now, you can save up to thousands on their roster of fuel-efficient 2011 Volkswagens and Mazdas, including the VW Jetta and Mazda 3. Have a vehicle to trade in? Then you've come to the right place. You won't find any trick plays with the team at Medina Volkswagen Mazda. They'll pay more for your vehicle and sell you theirs for less, regardless of your car's make or mileage. It doesn't get much easier than that. With Medina Volkswagen Mazda, you'll never outkick your coverage, making life simple for you and your checkbook. So get out today and visit Medina Volkswagen Mazda on Pearl Road in Medina or open anytime at MedinaVWMazda.com. Find out why they're Ohio's fastest growing VW and Mazda dealer and experience the Medina Volkswagen Mazda difference.
Hi, this is Tom Heckert, and you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, as the general manager just said, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden 12 in stores now, EA Sports. It is in the game. Cleveland Browns single game tickets are going fast, so purchase your tickets before it's too late, including the upcoming Cleveland Browns game versus the Titans on Sunday, October 2nd at 1 p.m. For more information, you call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. And we are truly pleased right now to be joined by one of the great former linebackers for the Browns. His name is Dick Ambrose. You may have better known him as Bam Bam. He, of course, is now Judge Bam Bam. And he has been, sitting as the Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas judge since 2004, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you, Vic. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you, and I got to point this out at the beginning because, you know, and look, we're a football Brown show. The heavy-duty stuff I try to leave for everybody else, but your life after football has been all about heavy-duty stuff as a judge, of course. And this really represents the first media interview you are conducting since overseeing one of the biggest cases, period, but certainly murder cases, the serial killer trial. Anthony Sewell was sentenced to death for killing 11 women, dumping their remains around his house and property. And you handled that this summer. And I, just that alone, Judge, floors me, just the thought of that. But how you doing since dealing with all that?
Well, it was a very interesting summer, and needless to say, that was one of the most, well, it is the most emotional and compelling case that I've ever had to sit for in my 7 years on the bench, and probably in the 17 years of practice of law before that, the worst I've ever seen. So it's good to have it over. It's good to be done. I think justice was done, and that, you know, is part of what I do. You know, it's unfortunate that we have to deal with things like that
right.
in today's world, but it is kind of what I see on a day-to-day basis. So it's very sobering, sometimes depressing, but it's always good to realize that, you know, there's more good in this world than there is bad, and to focus on that.
Right. You know, I look at you and know you certainly as a former player, first and foremost, in this context. But, okay, and as a judge doing your job there as well as you do it, but you're also a husband and you're a father. You're a human being who has human things to deal with every second of your life. How did you juxtapose dealing with that case and dealing with Dick Ambrose, the husband and father?
Well, you know, as a judge, you have to be objective. You have to be somewhat detached from the emotions of the case itself, because certainly you don't want that to interfere with any decisions that have to be made during the course of a case. You can't, however, step out of your human skin while you are a judge, and certainly things can affect the way you feel. They just are, you cannot allow them to affect the way that you act, you know, in a judicial capacity. So certainly I did feel things during the course of that trial, you know, but they, you know, can't affect my judgment. I cannot allow them to affect my judgment or any decisions that have to be made. So those are in strict following with the law. But again, that's what makes it difficult to go through a case like that, is you do have emotions certainly pulling you every which direction, because you are a human being, but you have to resist and make sure that you follow the law.
Sure. And as important as a lot of us think, you know, football is, and as big a part of that it plays in our lives and what it's meant to this town, and certainly that feeling, that it's been an awful feeling, obviously, since Sunday for Browns fans, and I know you're that as much as anything. You really, it seems to me that for you, it's as maybe the easiest thing to have that sobering reality that you deal with when you put that robe on versus what you know as a game. It's a game. It's a profession. It was a game. You were paid to play it. These guys are paid to play it. They're paid a heck of a lot more than you ever were. It just drives home the point that, and I thought about this as I knew you were going to be a guest today, is, you know what, I've been forgetting about that Cincinnati game, knowing what this guy deals with on a regular basis.
Well, I'm still allowed to have emotions as a fan. And
can you?
Certainly, yeah. I live and die with the Browns. And
right.
So, you know, Mondays after a Browns loss are very depressing for most people, you know, at the courthouse and as every other business in town.
Sure.
It's disheartening, you know, after a game like Sunday. I'm, you know, been around the horn enough to know that it's one game. You can't overreact.
Sure.
Certainly you got to react and make corrections where corrections need to be made, but it's important at this point of a season, especially with a young team, not to overreact and not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a lot of good things still left on this team that just need to be developed, and you know, so I think that, you know, it a football season, you know, like this past trial, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Right.
You have to be ready to be in there for the long haul and know that you're going to have the ups and downs during the course of the season. And the mark of a true champion is that you're not, when you get down, you don't let it keep you down.
Sure.
You come right back.
You know, I've been describing this game as one where it had some real terrible moments, but not terrible play in the largest sense overall. And we know what one of those terrible moments was, quite obviously, the one that's been hammered upon since Sunday, where of course, Bruce Gronkowski, the Bengals quarterback, was able to quickly just get a snap off, seeing a quote, napping, if you will, defense, or a defense not ready to deal with it. And we've heard Pat Shurmur talk about it and being unhappy about it, the coaching staff in general, and addressing it this week. They're going to start on that process of getting ready for the Indianapolis game in earnest tomorrow, but I'm sure that thought won't be far from anyone's mind. But as a former middle linebacker, as someone who dealt with the communication process, who watched that play, I'm sure, and I'm not asking you to those guys were lousy. We always did it right. That's not where I'm going. But just in terms of how you had to relate to anything that happens defensively, good or bad, strikes a chord with you.
Well, yeah, certainly. I as a former middle linebacker, I certainly take a special interest in the defense. And when that happened on Sunday, you know, obviously, you see the result of the play and you go, what happened? And then as you look at the replays, you see they're waiting for a call. They're looking for a call. And I've been in that same situation as a signal caller myself. We relayed the signals in from the sideline. Now, I know they've got radios and all that stuff now, but, I mean, sometimes it goes from the coach up in the booth down to the coach at the sideline. There's a communication that goes on there. Then it goes out to the field. A lot of times you run out of time. And I think at some point the signal caller, you know, if we didn't get the signal, we'd just go back to a base defense.
Sure.
And basic zone defense with a straight front, no blitz or anything, just so you were playing something out there. And, you know, again, hindsight is always 20/20 in those situations. Perhaps, you know, when you see the other team break the huddle and come out to the line, that's when you just got to check into your base zone defense and play, line up and play.
Sure.
But I think that same situation happened. I saw that earlier in the game where there was someone uncovered, and at the last minute, I don't know if it was Joe Hayden or Sheldon Brown, had to run out and get coverage on the receiver. So that was something probably that Cincinnati picked up on, thought they could get us on that later in the game, and that's the give and take of a football game. I mean, we always used to say it's a comedy of errors, and the team that makes the most errors is going to lose the game, and certainly the Browns fit that bill on Sunday. You know, but again, mental errors and things like that can be corrected. And, you know, just getting beat physically is something you got to worry about. But I think most of this game was mental errors.
Former Browns linebacker and current Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas Judge Dick Ambrose joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What part or parts of your football playing life helped prepare you for your judicial career?
Well, the thing with any profession, I think football is really good training ground because it really is a microcosm of life itself. I mean, you go through stress, strain. You know, the training camp period is certainly like nothing else that I've come across in real life, as we used to call it, because it taxes you to the max. You live, eat, and breathe football. You have to deal with the potential stress of losing your job at any one particular moment. Either you're not good enough or you're going to get hurt. So you deal with a lot of pressure. And when you make it through that training camp period, you really are joined kind of at the hip with your teammates that have led through the same experience. So that does help create that that you have going through a season. And I think that whole spirit of teamwork, I think, is something that I've always looked and drawn upon, you know, when working with any organization, a business, a law firm, and even, a court, because we have, certain collegiality that we have as a bench, and certainly we work all to help each other. I don't know how many other judges, you know, chipped in and helped out with other matters that I had to deal with during the course of the Seoul trial, and did pleas and took did sentencings. You know, for me, took some of the weight off my shoulders because I couldn't concentrate on anything but the case. So that plus, you know, I think being a defensive player was especially helpful because, you know, when you're out on the field, it's really organized chaos. I mean, there's people coming at you from all different directions. Sure. Of course, you have a game plan in mind. You're looking at the team's tendencies and wondering what you're going to do next, you know, when they come out and they line up. But anything can happen. And the same is now true, you know, in a trial situation. You know, a witness can say anything. You know, attorneys can certainly object, and you have to make a snap decision. You know, there's really no time to ponder. You really have to be on your game at all times.
Sure.
So there's a lot of similarities. I think it was a good training ground for, you know, what I'm doing now.
And the other thing I think about is as a professional athlete, as a member of the Cleveland Browns and playing in a community where they mean so much, and you played at that era, you were on the team 75, well, officially listed through 83, but it's actually 85, so you get that 10-year credit because you were on PUP at one point. All right, so we'll get that clear. But some the salad years, I mean, it was the Cardiac Kids, Brian Sipe, and so forth, Sam Ratigliano. So that high-profile nature where the likes of yourself and Clay Matthews and others, people just, there's a lot of adoration. And then being in this role where you're also high-profile, don't know that you have any football cards with you in a judge's robe necessarily, as I've seen the cards with you in a football uniform. But so a different level of attention, but nonetheless attention. So handling that, I would think, is helpful, having handled it as a pro player, handling it as a judge.
Yeah, I think that when... Obviously, and I think the players today probably live more under a microscope than we did in the past.
Sure.
But having had that, you know, exposure to the media and publicity, certainly when you get into a high-profile case like I just came from, a lot of things are not brand new for me. They're things that I've gone through before. So that helps, having had that experience. And it's just, you know, those are... great years back in the days of the Cardiac Kids, and you know, we had you know, some good teams.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the important thing for fans to realize today looking at this team is that, you know, it always does take a while to build a winner, and that was the case with the Cardiac Kids. I know when Sam Ratigliano came here in 1978, we were 8-8. The next year we were 9-7, and the next year after that we were 11-5. So it took a little time, you know.
Once,
and
you,
I think
there,
it does take some time, and fans, again, we've been saying that, be patient, but, you know, that's the way it goes in the National Football League.
Favorite memory when you're playing these?
Well, obviously the 1980 season it was a great season. It's hard to single out one particular memory from that. I just, you know, you always seem to remember the people rather than the events. And I played with some great guys, like you mentioned, Clay Matthews. You know, we were roommates together for 7 years. And, you know, we still, you still see a lot of the guys at games, still see Greg Pruitt. Matter of fact, I had Greg Pruitt in my courtroom last week. He was testifying in a automobile case. But,
oh, how was that awkward?
Well, no, it was kind of fun. I mean, the attorneys were fine with it, and yeah, I think the jury got a kick out of it.
You didn't have to recuse yourself.
No, I probably should have known of it ahead of time, but it was one of those things that just happened, and it all worked out.
Okay, great stuff. Enjoyed this very much, and really appreciate your taking the time to be part of our alumni spotlight.
That was great. Thank you for having me.
All right, Dick Ambrose, former Browns linebacker, he is the current Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas judge, and he's been so since 2004. Does a tremendous job with that. You know him again as Bam Bam. Greatest, by the way, all-time great nickname. And didn't you, somebody called you, weren't you referred to as Judge Bam Bam in the courtroom during the Seoul case?
Yeah, one of the family members who testified, they said, can I call you Judge Bam Bam? I said, you just did.
Great stuff. All right, we have got much more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty has been stolen. Naval Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your Best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Tonight on History, they made it to the final eight of Top Shot.
I'm ready to take on the best in the nation.
Now they're facing the most difficult challenges yet.
I don't like to back down when there's a challenge in front of me.
A magnum with the power of a cannon, a Gatling gun, and a special weapon that shoots around corners.
The more pressure I'm under, the better I shoot.
Plus, a surprise visit from the two prior Top Shots. Join host Colby Donaldson.
Every single marksman that shows up has something to prove.
Top Shot, tonight at 10, 9 Central on History, made every day.
Lifted and lowered, Wranglers and Wheelers. See your favorite trucks and more at Summit Racing Equipment's annual Truck Fest sale and cruising this Saturday and Sunday. Cruise in Saturday from 9 to 5. In-store only sale prices good all weekend. Truck Fest at Summit Racing, I-76, exit 29 in Talmadge.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
We thank you for joining us and being part of our show here in Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. This segment is brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Joining us now is the Browns Director of Community Outreach, Renee Harvey. Renee, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Another busy week, of course, for you and for the Browns in terms of the community outreach programs. Let's start with a fun event that happened last night, the 13th annual Taste of the Browns. How did that go?
Oh, it went very well. We had a tremendous turnout. We had over 1,000 people in attendance and raising money for a terrific cause in the Cleveland Food Bank. They do such an outstanding job in our area. And we had great reception and attendance by our alumni and our current players, and, of course, Pro Bowl Joe Thomas and Browns alum Al Bubba Baker, the honorary co-chairs. And they were also supported by many of their fellow players and teammates. So we had Robert Jackson and Greg Pruitt, all the way down to Mike Adams and Josh Cribbs. So just a great representation. And, you know, the money raised from last night's event, they're expecting, you know, for every dollar that's donated, the food bank can provide four nutritious meals. So with the event last night alone, they're able to raise enough money to distribute over $500,000 meals to agencies covering six counties.
Wow, that's tremendous. And this is something that obviously has grown through the years, and I knew there was a lot of excitement leading up to it, talking with Dick Ambrose, another of the Browns alumni there, that, you know, it's something that people really look forward to as not only a Browns event, but truly and an event with a great cause, but a nice bringing together of the community. There's nothing like food to pull people together, right?
You're absolutely right. And what better way with about 35 of the best local restaurants to help feed you for the evening. So it's an excellent night.
Good stuff. Another event held earlier today, the 14th Annual Celebrity Golf Tournament. This event supporting the United Way of Greater Cleveland.
We had another great day. The weather held out for us, and we're just wrapping up at the course now. And we had another heavy contingent of Browns alums. Reggie Rucker is actually on the event committee, but he was also supported by, you know, fellow Browns alums such as Gerald McNeil, the Ice Cube, and Bob Babich, and a host of others. And in the history of the event, luckily we've been able to raise over $1.2 million through this event, which, of course, supports all of Greater Cleveland through the United Way agencies.
Renee, does golf fall under the heading of just tried and true? Because it always seems like no matter what, you know, where I've been throughout the country or around NFL teams and so forth, I mean, there's always that standard. You have your golf tournament, and you can almost be certain that it's going to be successful.
It is. There's so many corporations. It's a great way for them not only to come out and do some nice business on the course, but it's a great way for them to visit and interact with some of the Brown celebrities, and I'm sure other celebrities in other markets. And you know, usually supporting a great cause, so it's a win-win for everyone.
Oh, that's tremendous. Renee Harvey, Browns Director of Community Outreach, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And a fun component that the Browns have going, and I've enjoyed this first from a distance, but now being part of the organization, the high school game of the week, and this is a really great interactive opportunity for fans, because the people are rabid about their football in all forms, whether it's pro, college, but I don't know if there's anything like the affinity that people have for high school ball and the chance to cast their vote to tell us what the high school game of the week should be.
It's amazing. The program's in its second year, and it has quickly become one of our more popular programs. Gives fans the opportunity to vote on a mixture of four different high school games the Browns will cover. And, again, fans can go on and vote. The polls are up every week during the high school season from Fridays at 5 all the way through Wednesday afternoons at 5. And so we're encouraging everyone to get out and vote. Last year alone, the program, we received over 1 million votes. So
we've
been able to cover some great games so far this year with St. Peter Chanel winning the week 2 contest, and then even this past Friday we covered of course the big game, Menor versus St. Ignatius.
As you say, it's not just fans voting for any old game either. They are putting the right games into the spotlight. We talk about this every Friday to let people know about their vote in that fan polling. Now back to football Friday. This is a campaign to get people wearing their Browns gear. And Renee, I was very impressed this past Friday when I saw some young people. I was going around and getting a haircut and walking out of the barbershop, dad with his kids, and the kids were wearing all their Browns gear, I think girl and two sons, and saying pretty much that was the deal in school, you know, that they had to go out.
And
I just thought that was sensational. I think this was in Strongsville. I just thought it was sensational.
Oh, that's great, and we're glad to hear that. And we're, you know, at the league level, it's an initiative Back to Football Friday, as you mentioned. And so we are encouraging the schools to register and host events in their schools to help promote health and wellness, but also to encourage the kids to wear their Browns gear and in the business community as well. So it kicked off, obviously, last Friday, leading them to the home opener. But we are encouraging schools and everyone to continue to wear their Browns gear every Friday. And the school that actually submits their information and gets selected actually wins a $10,000 grant. So it's a phenomenal program, and it continues to grow every year. So encouraging schools to jump on clevelandbrowns.com and register their school for the opportunity.
Great stuff. Outstanding, Renee. Enjoyed talking with you as always, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Vic.
All right. That is Renee Harvey, Director of Community Outreach for the Cleveland Browns, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, get the value you're looking for at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Lease the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or Escape for $199 a month. Your choice, 2012 Fusion or Escape for only $199. With outstanding value, quality, and technology, it's no surprise Ford is the best-selling brand in America. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Vinson, Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon, and I don't like anything standing in my way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
You bought a timeshare. Seemed like a good idea at the time. But now times have changed. You're paying out maintenance fees, assessment fees. It's turned into a nasty money problem that's keeping you awake at night. Get rid of your timeshare with the help of Timeshare Free. Timeshare Free can help you get rid of your timeshare and won't charge you any upfront fees. We've helped hundreds and hundreds of good folks just like you. And because of that, we have an excellent rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call right now and we'll explain how we can help you without charging upfront fees. 855-639 0725. You're not using your timeshare, haven't had any luck trying to sell it, and you're sick of fooling around with listing services that can't sell it. Call Timeshare Free now and learn how to get it done the right way. Get rid of your timeshare before you pay any more fees. Call 855-639-0725. That's 855-639-0725. 855-639-0725.
With WatchESPN.com and the WatchESPN app, you get ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN3, and more live on your computer, iPhone, and iPad thingies. It's all the sports you want to watch, wherever you are. Wander on over to WatchESPN.com or download the WatchESPN app, pronto. Available with Time Warner Cable.
College football is here, and Time Warner Cable and ESPN have you covered all season long. Catch all the action on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN3, ESPNU online or on the go with WatchESPN.com and the WatchESPN app for Android and Apple devices. Switch to Time Warner Cable today and access the ESPN networks live anywhere. Sign up for Time Warner Cable Digital TV and Roadrunner Broadband for as low as $89.90 per month. Call 1-800-TW-CABLE today. Limited time offer. New residential customers only. Certain restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon, and I don't like anything standing in my way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
Poll question results. The question was, in what area do the Browns need to make the most improvement to rebound from Sunday's loss, and why? Running game, passing game, run defense, pass defense, special teams. 59% of you said run defense. Michael commented blocking. That's where we've always struggled. It was 23% for passing game and 14% for running game. They got the most votes. All right, some thank yous. Steve Hagan, Dick Ambrose, Renee Harvey, Kristen Ribelli, Jameer Howerton, Dave DiNatale, Will Burge. Had so much fun. We'll do it again tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.